morning, everybody. What a great day. What a phenomenal weekend. Amen. The No More Hurt Conference was just awesome. Today, this morning service, a woman gave her heart to the Lord Jesus. People came up for prayer, were ministered to. I just can't wait. It's going to be a great day for you. Turn to someone and say, you're going to have an awesome day. How many of you came ready to praise the Lord? And don't forget, the Patriots are going to win today. Glory to God. Y'all need salvation. It's going to be a great day. Are you ready to praise Him? Now listen, this is a song you can't just stand there. Everybody give me a sway. Give me a little move. Oh, come on, Dean. Give me a little move. Now you gotta clap. Give me a beat. Come on, take the beat. Are you ready? Let's praise Him together.
I got joy in my soul. God is in control. I got Satan on my trail, but I'm singing all is well. He's attacking every day, but I'm watching while I pray. No matter the attack, I won't turn back.
This means war. This means war.
Come on and check it out.
This means war. This means war.
Let's go to the top. Sing it with me. I got joy in my soul. God is in control. I got Satan on my trail, but I'm singing all is well. He's attacking every day, but I'm watching while I pray. No matter the attack, I won't turn back. Changes many things. Come on.
I plead the blood.
Sing, I plead the blood.
I plead.
Let's go back
blood.
To the top. I got joy. I got joy in my soul. God is in control. I got Satan on my trail, but I'm singing all is well. He's attacking every day, but I'm watching while I pray. No matter the attack, I won't turn back. Sing it out.
This means war.
Come on and sing it out.
This means war.
Declare war. Sing,
this means war.
Come on and sing it out. I plead the blood.
I plead the blood.
Y'all sound great.
I plead the blood.
Hey.
I plead the blood.
You can't have my increase.
You can't have my increase.
Oh, you can't have my breakthrough.
You can't have my breakthrough.
Sing, you can't have my breakthrough.
You can't have my breakthrough.
No, you can't have my family.
You can't have my family.
No, you can't have my increase.
You can't have my increase.
Sing, you can't have my breakthrough.
You can't have my breakthrough.
Hey, sing, you can't have my.
This means
Let me hear you sing it.
I plead the blood.
Come on, declare that word.
I plead the blood.
Because it changes things, right?
I plead the blood.
Come on and sing that out, just plead the blood.
I plead the blood.
Gotta shout if you plead the blood. Tell them you can't have my faith. You cannot have my increase. My healing is mine. Come on, y'all. You gotta shout if you actually believe it. Hallelujah.
The Lord is good forever.
You thought I was worth saving, so you came and changed my life. You thought I was worth keeping, so you cleaned me up inside. You thought I was to die for, so you sacrificed your life so I can be free, so I can be whole, so I can tell everyone. Everyone sing that. You thought I was worth saving, so you came.
So you came and changed
so
my
you
life.
Thought I, oh, yeah. So you cleaned me
so
up.
You cleaned me up inside.
So you thought I,
you thought I was to die for.
And I'm mighty, mighty grateful.
So
so I can be,
so I, can be
I wanna
so
be whole.
I
wanna
so
tell
I
everyone.
Everyone.
Come on, say that again. You thought I was worth saving. Sing so you came.
You came and changed.
Sing
my
you thought
life.
I and you cleaned me up.
So you cleaned me up.
You thought I was to die for. So you sacrificed your life so I can be free. I wanna be whole and I can tell everyone.
Last time, sing it out.
You thought I was worth saving, so you came and changed my life. You thought I was worth keeping, so you cleaned me up inside. You thought I was to die. So you sacrificed your life so I can be free.
So I
wanna
be
whole.
So I can tell everyone I know.
Hallelujah. Come on and sing it out with me. And I will praise you
forever.
I'll worship
forever.
You I'll give you glory
forever.
Because I am,
oh,
because I am. I want to tell everyone. I want to hear you sing this. Sing out hallelujah. Sing it out.
Hallelujah.
This is our highest praise, Lord.
You thought I was worth saving, so you came and changed my life. You thought I was worth keeping, so you cleaned me up. Thank you, Lord. Till you thought I was to die for. And I'm mighty, mighty grateful for your blood, for your sacrifice. I want to be whole.
Come on, just sing it one more last time.
Sing, you thought I was worth saving, so you came and changed my life. You thought I was worth keeping, and you cleaned me up, yeah.
So you cleaned me up inside.
Till you thought I
was to die for.
Hallelujah.
So you sacrificed.
I thank you for your sacrifice.
So I can be free. So I can be home. So I can tell everyone I know.
Dear Lord, thank you for who you are. Thank you that even when I wasn't here, you thought of me, Lord God. You thought of us. You have a destiny and a plan for us, which is why we got to keep going. Lord God, we got to keep serving you. You give us the strength to praise you. Hallelujah. Praise is what we do. Hallelujah. I want to sing it out.
Praise is what I do when I want to be close to you. I lift my hands and praise.
Sing praises.
Praise is who I am. I will praise you while I can.
Because I vow.
Because I vow to praise you through the good and the bad. I'll praise you whether happy or sad. I'll praise you
in all that I go through.
Because praise is what I do.
Praise is what I do.
And I owe it all, yeah.
And I owe it all
to you.
Thank you, God. Come on, sing praises.
Praise is what I do when I want to be close to you.
Because
I vow to praise you through the good and the bad. I'll praise you whether happy or sad.
Sing,
I'll praise you.
I'll praise you.
In and all that I go through.
Lift a hand and just praise God, because praise is what we do. Hallelujah, Lord, you're so worthy. Come on, just praise Him. Just pour it out right now. Come on, just God praise. Just give God praise. Come on, guys. Come on and sing it out. Praise is what I
praise is what I do.
Sing praise is what I do.
It's what.
It's what I do.
No matter what's going on in my life, sing praise.
live to praise you. It's what I'm built for. It's what I'll do.
What I do.
Hey. It's what I do.
It's what I do.
Come on, I vow. And I vow to praise you. I'll praise you, whether happy or sad, I'll praise you in all that I go through, because praise is what I do, and I love.
When you learn that, it changes your whole life. When you really learn how to look at your problems and not face your problems in fear, but face your problems in faith. When you start to praise, it stirs up the innermost man. Man, I love what the word says. If you can say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be cast into the sea, and do not doubt, you shall have what you ask. You see, we're not weak, we're strong. Today, maybe you're fresh in the house, and you're wondering, what in the world did I get myself into? We want you to know you're going to be all right. Will you turn to the person next to you and say, you're going to be all right? Amen. You might be seeing people raise their hands and wondering what that's all about. Listen, if I had a gun and I stuck it in your chest and I said, stick them up, give me all your money, what are you going to do? You're going to lift your hands and surrender. That's why you see people raising their hands. And the one thing that you'll notice in this house is that we're not singing songs, we're singing to Him. Yeah. Totally different. But I will tell you this, wow, you guys sound awesome. You sound awesome. We're gonna be doing a night of worship. When is that? February 9th, there'll be a night of worship here at the church. Be no preaching, just worship. You are going to love it. Mark it on your calendar. You want to make sure that you're here. We're just going to spend the time just with Jesus and just worship Him and love on Him and encourage each other and just spend time in the presence of Jesus. I don't know about you. That's fun. Amen? So on your way back to your chair, make sure you tell 5 or 6 folks, my God loves you today. Why don't you go find somebody you don't know? Go find somebody you don't know this morning. Don't be a snob. Go find somebody you don't know. Don't just find folks you do know. Find folks you don't know. Say good morning. You look marvelous today.
Coming on the clouds. seeing the theme this year being divine connections. And we know, according to the Bible, that before the foundations of the earth were laid, God planned and purposed for you even to be in this house, at this place, at this time, because he has divine connections for you to make even in this house. And I would like to welcome you, but also to welcome our live stream this morning. We love you. We are so thankful that you are a part of our family. And we would encourage you to come out and build relationships here in the body of Christ. There is nothing more powerful than the power of a divine connection through Jesus.
Mexico, Colorado's on this morning. New Mexico's on this morning. Florida's on this morning. People from all over the East Coast are watching this morning. We welcome you and we love you.
Thank you so much. It's exciting to know that there are no limits to the reach of the hand of God with the body of Christ. We would also like to welcome our guests this morning. If you are a guest, would you just lift your hands? We have a gift for you. We have some guests right over here. Any other guests? We have a guest right up here in the front row. Another guest over here in the front middle. Yeah, you're going to get you some Jesus today. You know where it's at. Come up front. Get your Jesus. Do we have any other guests here in the house this morning? Oh, over here. We have some guests over here. Keep your hands up, please. We have people coming around with gifts for you. Any other guests in the house this morning? Amen. We have a guest reception. Oh, a guest over here as well. Nice, nice. Any other guests this morning? It's our heart to bless you and to welcome you into the family of Christ. Over there, we have a guest reception in the hallway beside us. We have refreshments, and we as the pastors, our pastors would really love to be able to meet you. We're a large church, but we do a really great job at being a family. And the reason why is because we care about building relationship. And that being said, how many of you know that you got to leave your house to meet new people? How many of you know that, right? So we have some amazing opportunities for you at His Tabernacle. We have a Next Steps program. Turn to somebody next to you and say, Next Steps. At Christmas, we kind of stay in and we get a little bit lazy with coming out and participating with classes. But in 2018, if God is going to create some divine connections in your life, if you're going to have the breakthrough that God has for you, then you need to get out of your house. You need to position yourself properly and get some more Jesus. Get some more of the Word inside of you. Get changed, transformed by the power of the Word of God. So come on out on Tuesday nights at 7 p.m. with Pastor Spencer. He likes you to clap for him. At 7 p.m. for Rock Solid Faith. It again is held on Wednesday at 9 a.m. with Pastor Dan. And then Thursday evenings at 6 o'clock with myself. It is a powerhouse class. And then on Tuesday nights at 7 p.m., we have our Next Steps 2. And that is faith and finances. So if you want to change in your life this year and you want to get to 2019 and say, I'm different now than I was last year, then you need to participate with opportunities. There are divine connections and divine opportunities. And you don't want to miss out on either of those. That being said, we would like to welcome Sherry Taylor and Pastor Banfield and Pastor Daniel Dykes up for our graduation, our step 2. Do we have? Oh, we're not doing that this service. It's all done. Look at that. That was fast, right? Okay, let me turn it over to Pastor Rhonda. She's going to do our offering this morning.
Hallelujah. I am so excited about the word of the Lord this morning. How many of you believe that the Bible is true? All right, this is a trick question, so I'm going to ask you again. How many of you believe the Bible is true? All right, so believing is an action word, all right? So I'm just going to preface all of this with believing is an action word. And you all said you believe the Word of God is true. So I have awesome news for you this morning from the Word of God. I have three stories of God's supernatural debt cancellation. And in the Bible, 2 Kings 4:1-7, talks about the widow whose husband passed away, and they had tons of debt, and she had no way of taking care of this debt. God supernaturally, when she obeyed what he had spoken to her to do, supernaturally provided oil on a continuous basis that she could sell to pay off that debt. That's supernatural debt cancellation. Hallelujah. We see it in the Word of God. And then in 2 Kings 6:5-7, it talks about a man who was so impoverished, he couldn't even buy his own axe. He had to borrow an axe from someone. And when he borrowed it, something happened. And it fell into the water. And he could not get it back out. He didn't know where it was. So he went to the man of God and did what the man of God said. And threw a stick in the water where it was at. And that axe had floated. So he didn't owe a debt for something that he had lost. That floated. Iron floated in the water. Supernatural debt cancellation. And here's a really incredible one in Matthew 17. They were asking Jesus about paying taxes and if you do that. And so Jesus, Peter was saying, yes, I'm going to go do that. Jesus stopped him at the door of the house, and this is what he said. Go to the sea, cast a hook, and take up the first fish that comes. And when thou hast opened its mouth, you shall find a piece of money. Take it and go pay your taxes. How many of you would love to see some supernatural tax pay? That's a coin in a fish's mouth. Supernatural. Now, let me read to you the word of God that says, Acts 10:34, God is no respecter of persons. Isn't that awesome? So that means this poor widow, the one that borrowed, even the ones that had enough, God still did supernatural debt reduction for every single one of them. He's no respecter of persons. He will do the same for you. Oh, well, you know, that was just in old times. Here's another scripture for you. Hebrews 13:8, the word of God that we believe, right? Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So he's the same debt canceller yesterday that he is today and will be forever. So good news to the body of Christ. He still cancels debt supernaturally today. I don't know. Man, I'm excited about this. I'm believing for some supernatural debt cancellation in my life this year, in our church, in your homes. It's the word of God. Here's another scripture for you. Mark 9:23. Jesus said, this isn't me. I'm not up here making this up. Jesus said, if you can believe, all things are possible. Amen. You see, supernatural debt cancellation, we know, does not happen for everybody, does it? It just doesn't just fall out of the sky. They obeyed what God directed them to do, tithing, sowing, reaping, and they believed. And supernatural debt cancellation is for every single one in this room, even still today. Isn't that awesome? Let's stand to your feet, make our supernatural declaration as we come to give. And that's in Deuteronomy 28. Again, the word of God. Let's shout it like we know it's true. Let's shout it like you see those debts being canceled in the name of Jesus. And it says, if I obey, then I am blessed going in, and I am blessed going out. Now listen, do you hear that I word in there? Not your neighbor, not just that special person. I am blessed going in, blessed going out. I'm blessed in my storehouse. I am blessed in my basket. The blessings have chased me down. They've tripped me up because I'm a child of God. Now shout it, I believe. Bring your tithes and offerings to the all-powerful God this morning. If you're watching via live stream, click click on the giving button or text to give right along with us.
I got joy in my soul. God is in control. I got Satan on my trail, but I'm singing all is well. He's attacking every day, but I'm watching now that I pray. No matter the attack, I won't turn back.
This means war. This means war.
Joy in my soul, God is in control. I got Satan on my trail, but I'm singing all is well. He's attacking every day, but I'm watching while I pray. No matter the attack, I won't turn back.
This means war. This means war.
This morning, as they're balancing that out, we'd like to ask Joey and his parents if they'll come on up. Joey's getting ready to leave for the armed forces Tuesday, correct? Or tomorrow? Tuesday? Could I have, if you served in the armed forces, if you'll come on up, we'd like to have you pray with him. If you've served in the armed forces, I'd like to have you come on up and let's pray together. Young man, love you. He's been traveling now. You've been coming now for a while, right? You want to shorten down a little bit? He's been coming for a while. Armed Forces, come on up. Yep, come on. Jenny, where are you, Jenny? Anybody else in the Armed Forces, you've served in the Armed Forces, we want to pray for this young man. Amen. He's been coming faithful. He comes all the way from Wellsboro. He's traveling an hour and 15 minutes, 20 minutes?
About an hour.
Because he travels very fast to come up for church. And he'll be heading out to the armed forces. You're going to the?
Army.
To the Army on Tuesday.
Yep.
Correct?
Correct.
So I want you to know you have a bunch of folks that have served with you, but also a bunch of folks that love you.
Amen.
And we're all praying for you. Amen? Amen? So let's just pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you, Lord, for safety. We thank you for men and women who are willing to lay their lives down, Lord, for freedom. God, I thank you that you're going to use him in a mighty way where he's going. Lord, I ask in Jesus' name that, Lord, you'll give him a voice. Lord, it's very difficult to serve you in that type of environment. But I pray for a supernatural boldness that he could not muster on his own. And that Holy Spirit, you'll raise him in the morning, Lord, with a song in his heart. And that, Father, he'll have a boldness to share your gospel with those that he's serving with. Lord, we just thank you that no matter where his feet tread, we know that the angels are surrounding him. We know that you're protecting him. And we know, God, that you're going to use him for your glory, for the steps of a righteous man are ordered of the Lord. And we give you honor and praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
God bless you.
We should pray for mom and dad, honestly. Father, we just pray for peace in their heart. And Lord, even if Joey heads into places where it's in danger, we thank you, Lord, that they'll always rest in their spirit, knowing that if God is for you, who can be against you? Lord, I'm reminded of another young man that went, and Lord, he had bullets flying at him all over, and they called him the preacher man because they always pinged off of everything but never touched him. Lord, we pray for divine protection. And Lord, just a peace of heart for mom and dad. In Jesus' name, amen. Love you, Joey. I'm just confused. Your parents are short.
I asked Rhonda if she cheated on me before because my sons are both tall too, and there's nobody tall in my family. We want to do a baby dedication. I love baby dedications. We have just a phenomenal children's ministry in this church, and I'm so blessed. We have Brenda Ostrander for, I think, 5 or 6 years served, led, and brought a great balance to our children's ministry. Brenda, can you stand and wave at everybody? Not everybody will know you. Amen. And then she passed the baton to Susan Bull. Is she in the room? She was in first service. She's ministering right now. And we just want you to know that we believe that God has a destiny for your children. And that at His tabernacle, we're not interested in babysitting your kids. You know, if you want babysitting, you're in the wrong location. We're here to train your kids to be warriors for the kingdom. And man, I love watching these kids come out knowing how to pray. 2 weeks ago, maybe it was 3 weeks ago, Susan came into staff meeting. She said they gave an opportunity for the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and 20 children came up to be baptized in the Holy Spirit, speak with other tongues. I mean, children, I love that. Get them filled young. They don't get so messed up when they get older. Amen? So, Marissa, if I could have you come, and Chris and their family. There we go. Have you met the Johnson family? They are just awesome. They really are. See, that's really nice. You look good today. I love you.
I love you.
I'm good, man. How are you? I want to make sure I say this. Yavera.
Yavea.
I like that. Who named the baby?
Me.
I like that.
It came to me in a dream.
Did it come in a dream? I named my kids, too. Hi. Do you know how important you are to Jesus? Do you realize that before God said, let there be, He knew you? He did. And He's got an awesome plan for your life. And today, you know what we're going to do? We're going to dedicate you back to Jesus so that He can do His thing with your life. I know. Mom, dad, uncles, and grandma, and grandpa. And everybody's going to be praying for you. Look at all these folks. You're not even nervous. All these folks are going to be praying for you because we believe that you have divine purpose. You might be the next Billy Graham. It's true. Billy Graham never thought he was going to be Billy Graham.
Oh, don't worry about that. Don't be his wife.
Grandma, you stop pinching.
I have to contain myself. I'm sorry.
You got that? But can we pray for you? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for babies. You show new life all the time. Lord, so we ask right now, as new life has been brought to this planet, that Jesus, your planned purpose for this child will never be detracted or detoured, but will constantly move forward. Lord, I challenge mom and dad. I challenge grandma. I challenge family in the name of Jesus that they will always teach her how to pray, faithful to God's house, and one who will put their hand to the plow and never look back. And Lord, we dedicate her in Jesus' name and declare she's yours. Use her as you will to bring glory to your kingdom. In the name of Jesus. And everybody said,
amen.
Amen. Congratulations. Can you give the family a hand clap? Yay! That's a beautiful outfit. Nice boots. You got to be fashionable. That's all the way it is. Amen. You know, some of the joys of being a pastor is doing those kind of things where you get to bless families and see what God is doing. Hey, how many of you know that this is the year of? Okay, so watch me now. Folks, I'm going to play with my microphone a little bit because I need to peek out so I don't break you. Is that fair? Is that fair? So don't peek me. Okay. This is the year of? Yeah, we're playing with the microphone. This is the year of? That's right. Divine Connections. And we have some free things. How many of you have seen these before? This is our new logo for the year. And I love the fact that the Divine Connection is our north, south, east, and west. Our latitude and longitude is right on the mug. And Divine Connections, His Tabernacle, our verse for the year, and our logo. Who would like that? Well, listen, I'm not going to bring it to you. Oh. That was smooth.
It's your birthday gift.
I love the fact that, you know, we represent. Why do we make product is so that you can represent in the community. Someone's going to come and say, Divine Connection. It's about the Divine Connection. And you can give them the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen? It's an open opportunity, an opportunity for you to share Christ. I want to just say, how many of you were at the No More Hurt conference this last weekend? Wow, was that phenomenal or what? How many of you have ever been hurt, offended by somebody? Everybody else just lied, now you're going to hell. If you've lived long enough, you've been offended. If you've lived long enough, you've had your feelings hurt. And this series is one that changes your life. And so I want to challenge you, if you did not and were not there, at least grab the book and the workbook. But Pastor Rhonda also produced for the very first time a DVD series and a CD series of the teaching. And this is one that every single believer needs. Not just needs because she did it. We need it. How many of you realize you've been offended more than once in your life? How many of you have acted good at that? How many of you did well when you were offended? How many of you did really bad? How many of you are still holding grudges? Don't raise your hand. The fact is that offense is one of the great things that will destroy your life. And you need to learn how to work through your offenses. No More Hurt is a powerful book. We had a bunch of folks, they signed the commitment card before the Lord that they were going to tithe for 1 year. And because we have a three-week rotation at our church, we already gave out over 200 of these books. But if you sign that, your book is waiting for you. It'll be right up here at the end of service. We do ask that you don't steal a book. Come on, say, I'm not a thief. Amen. Don't steal a book. If you didn't fill it out, please don't steal it. But we have those available for you, so we'd encourage you to make sure you grab your book. That was a gift to you from the bishop down in Florida. Today, I'm excited because it's a message that, truthfully, it really, as a pastor, moves in my spirit. Now, what do I mean by that? There are messages that I preach that will empower you. There are messages that I preach that will stimulate and stir your heart. There are messages that I preach that will sometimes bring conviction to your life. But then there are messages that really move the pastor because you're able to hear what the pastor feels. Now, being a pastor is not a job. I want you to recognize that this is not my vocation. This is my calling. There's a difference between vocation and a calling. A vocation is a job. You are hired at the job, and that's what you do. That's just what you do for a living. But you see, when it's a calling, I love what Paul said, woe to me if I preach not the gospel. There is something that moves in your spirit. It's a call of God on your life. And God deposits certain things in your life as you are moving in your calling. And one of the things that He moves in your life is a real heart for the people. You see, a pastor that doesn't love people cannot be a pastor. A pastor that just has a vocation cannot be a pastor. They can hold the job called pastor, But a true pastor has the heart for God's people. They are moved when God's people are wounded. They are moved when they see people that are wandering and falling away. There is a move in their heart, and it's compelling and driving and overwhelming at times. You see, in this year of divine connections, I want to talk about the most powerful connection of our entire life. And many churches will not breach this topic. And in fact, this morning, I'm going to step over. I'm going to step on. Will everyone please pick up your feet? Raise your toes. Glory to God. I promise to step on your toes this morning. If you raise them up, that's all right. But I'm here to make sure my main compulsion of life is to see people saved, is to see people grow, and to see people when I get to heaven. You see, I want you to make it to heaven. You're a very quiet crowd this morning. I want you to make it to heaven. I don't want you to almost make it to heaven. I don't want you to just make it by the hair of your chinny chin chin. I want you to bust through the gates, glory to God, and for him to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. I want God to look at you and burst in beam and blow a button on his outfit because he is so proud of his sons and his daughters. And you see, this connection that we're talking about, this divine, this supernatural connection is called our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no greater connection than our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Mark chapter 16, verse 20, our verse for the year says this, and they went out and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them, confirming the word with signs and wonders. You see, as a believer, it's important to recognize that God didn't just save you to go to heaven, but God's got a divine destiny and a plan for you on this planet. You're breathing for a reason. In fact, when your time and when you no longer have need, you no longer have need of breath either. I want to remind you that there was only one disciple that died of old age, and that was John. Jesus died in his 30s. Now, you see, we all think that, you know what, I'm going to live to 965, Methuselah. But the fact is that, you know, some of us, we're going to do our purpose. And the sad part is, I believe without any reservation to say, that many people have died very young. What do we mean by they've died young? They've gotten saved, but they've never lived purpose. When we no longer have purpose, then there's no longer for our need to be on the planet. We must recognize that we are not here to suck air, and that the greatest connection we have is our intimacy with God and to fulfill why we're here on this planet. God has made a plan, the Lord working with them. Turn to someone and say, God needs your life. Tell somebody else, God planned your life. Tell somebody else, you're not an accident. Every one of us finds things of value in our life. You know, some people, I believe it was Pastor Cody yesterday, was talking about a man that was on the Titanic. Was it Titanic? Where's Pastor Cody? He's doing the classroom over there. There was a man that the Titanic was sinking, and this man jumped in a boat. And he said to the man at the head of the boat, he says, I've got to go back to my stateroom real quickly. And he got out, and the man said, listen, I'm not holding your seat long. The man got out, he ran to his stateroom, and he grabbed 3 oranges. To him, that was worth saving his entire life. He was going to give up his life for 3 oranges. That was something he wanted to protect, 3 oranges. I don't get it. Don't try to make sense out of it. And that's the problem. Many of us protect things that make no sense. Many of us hold dear to ourselves things that wane in the sight of our relationship and divine connection with our Father. And this morning I want to talk about protecting your divine connection. I want to talk about you and I, making sure that nothing gets in the way of our divine connection. That nothing breaches and breaks and short circuits our divine connection with the Master, the King, the Lover, the Abba of our soul. God is calling us to protect the most precious thing that we have, the most precious commodity, and that is our relationship with Jesus. We have come to a time in the church world where that relationship with the Lord is either taken advantage of or really not seen as valuable as it truly is. But the truth is this, is that when we take our last breath, our relationship with Christ is the only thing that's going to get us to heaven for eternity. The blood that washed away our sin is the only thing that's going to give us eternal security in Christ. In fact, what's interesting is this. I believe the church has come to a place where we really don't believe that Jesus is the only way. We say it, but we don't believe it. Because if we believe it, we live differently. We put the price and the honor on certain things higher than others, declaring that, listen, I love God, I want to go to heaven, I've said my prayer, but I want to live my own life. What we're ultimately saying is that my life is more precious, the connection I have with what I love is more precious to me than my connection with the Father. There comes a revelation, an apocalypsis, an unveiling in our heart, and I pray that God brings an epiphany to your life, that today you'll recognize the most great commodity, the most great precious gift that you and I have is that divine intimacy that God has given to us through his son Jesus that cost him everything so that the light of heaven would be able to turn our light on, that we may be able to walk in him and talk with him and have relationship with him. Now, you see, if we put value in anything else before that, then we're in a position of idolatry. Now, I'm not sure if you know what idolatry is. It's a word that we don't really use much today. Our country, we don't have idols per se as in other countries. In the Hindu religion, there's over 400 million gods. In fact, I had friends from Bible school that were from India and from Pakistan. And they would tell me that it was really normal to see shrines on the side of hills where people would just take a stick or they would take a molded elephant or some kind of artifact that they would find and they would start to worship that and they would start to honor that as their God. That's idolatry. That is when something is put before the one and true God only. And whether we realize it or not, in America, we don't sit back and have those type of idols, but we have many other idols in our life that dispel and break the connection between the divine and you and I. Anything that is before God is an idol. Anything that we put before him, whether it be our husbands, our wives, whether it be our children, no matter what it is, no matter what we place before God, is an idol. And God is a jealous God, as it says in the book of Exodus. He loves us with an everlasting love. But here we have, there's only one connection that will truly give us eternity in heaven. We've got to protect that. Now, if I gave you, let's just say I gave you $10,000 in coins. I gave you some gold coins. I don't know, what's gold at? $1,400 an ounce or something? I gave you enough coins. You're not going to sit down and just leave them hanging somewhere. You're going to make sure they're in a safe place. You're going to make sure they're protected. You're going to make sure a thief can't come and steal them. And that's where, as believers, you know, we place so much on what we can put in our hand, but what we can't put in our hand is more valuable than what we can. The Bible says, don't look at the things which can be seen, for they're temporary, but look at the things which cannot be seen, for they are eternal. Our salvation is that eternal thing that gives us the ability to make sure that we know him, walk with him, and have relationship with him on a daily basis, that when we die, we don't have to have a doubt. You know, I've asked people before, I said, are you going to heaven? They said, I hope so. What a horrible sensation of hoping you're going to go to heaven, of hoping in your mind you're good enough, of hoping that you've done the right things. But you see, God is not working on hope. He said, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. For the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Those who call upon the name of the Lord, they shall be saved. You see, God has a plan to make sure that you have a security in your life. And that is a divine connection that when the light of heaven connects with your light, that there is a brightness that is shining that cannot be ever lost unless you make a disconnect. Amazingly, that is the power of humanity. We have the ability to disconnect from God. We have the ability to short circuit our own spiritual life. And as a pastor, that is the saddest thing that I've seen. I've watched so many people truly have a genuine experience with God. I mean, they couldn't deny it if they wanted to. I'm talking like Jesus touched them. Jesus changed them. Their even facial feature changed. The joy came into their heart. They walked with a sensation of knowing that they had an intimate relationship with God. And then things started happening. They did not protect their greatest commodity. And then after a while, they started to disappear. And then after a while, they did disappear. And then now they're not serving God at all. There is something in my heart as a pastor that just rips at me because I want to grab them. I want to shake them. I want to say, please wake up. Don't you understand? The greatest thing you have, the greatest gift and connection that you have in your life is your relationship with a living Savior. That's the only thing that when you take your last breath, you're going to have secure in your life and that you're going to be in heaven with God forever, or you're going to short circuit your own life and spend eternity separated from God. You see, that is not up to anybody else. There comes a time you've got to learn how to protect your most valuable assets. And the most valuable asset you have is your connection with the Father. You see, God so loved us that he gave us the opportunity and he said, listen, I'm going to send my son, John chapter 1, verse 12 and 13. But as many as receive him, to them gave he the right to become children of God. To those who believe in his name, who are born not of blood, nor of the will of flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. God's passion is that you know him. I'm not talking know about him, but really know him. Listen, oh God, please help me understand. Please help me really convey this. As your pastor, I watch people who once had a passion. I'm talking a genuine drive and a fire that was real in their life that was so powerful that it magnetized them. And then I watch them because life happens. And all of a sudden, they're not protecting the connection. And now, I mean, they come to church. They're there, but they're not there at all. When it's time to worship, they don't worship anymore. When it's time to serve, they could care less. They got other things to do. You know, the only reason to be a pastor is because you genuinely love people. You can love people, and they can get nice things on earth, but how many of you have ever lost a car before? How many of you have had one car in your life? How many of you have had more than one car in your life? How many of you have moved at least twice? How many people How many people have lost someone that they love? They've died. How many people have been betrayed by your family before? How many people have been betrayed by your spouse before? How many people have been betrayed by your children before? You know what's amazing is that you'll find that all those things that people put as the stability of their life, every one of us have experienced some level of anarchy. Some level of loss, some level of loss of control, where all of a sudden, man, what we once put our value in, what we once held as our greatest asset no longer has the capability to house and hold us because now we've experienced loss. Listen, we've got to come back to this truth, and the truth is very valuable and very real, and that is the only asset that will get you into eternity with Christ has nothing to do with anything that you're touching temporarily. It is all going to pass away. People are going to die. People are going to betray you. People are going to leave you. You're going to lose jobs. You're going to lose money. You're going to move. You're going to change cars. But Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he changes not. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. You got to protect your greatest asset, and that is your connection with God. Protect it. It's the only thing that you truly have. It's your most valuable treasure. You see, God doesn't call you stranger. John chapter 15 says this. He says, you are my friends. If you do whatever I command you, no longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing. But I've called you friends, for all things that I heard from my Father, I have made known to you. God, this is so powerful to God. This is so real to God that this is what he says to us in the book of Galatians chapter 4, verse 6. And because you are sons, God has sent forth his spirit of his son into your hearts, crying out, Daddy! He not only calls you friend in this connection, but he calls and says, you are my kids. I want you to call me dad. I want you to call me daddy. That's the most intimate Aramaic word for a father and a child. You see, God wants you to look into his eyes. He wants a relationship with you so deep. He wants an intimacy where you can hear him whisper, where you know his voice, you know the direction, and God wants this with you. But that cannot come if our connections are broken, if we're living a life of being short-circuited because we're choosing to change and make value things that are so temporary. I've had people come up to me and say, they're my whole life. What happens if they die? Then you've got no life. I've watched people that are very wealthy. They have everything. And then they commit suicide. Because wealth can only satisfy so far. I've seen husbands and wives, man. I married them. They loved each other, man. They loved each other. And then all of a sudden, they're looking at each other and saying, we want a divorce. I'm thinking, why would you want a divorce? You loved each other. When you don't protect your greatest value, then what happens is this. Other things start taking its place. Seek ye first. Not second, not third, not fourth, not when God, when you have time for him. But seek ye first. When you make him first, you start protecting your greatest connection, and that is God. You are the most important to me. God, I love you. My heart is after you. I will not be deterred or detracted from you. God, I'm going to focus on you. You see, again, this is the truth. The truth is that the enemy of your soul, the Bible says, we fight not against flesh and blood. The devil hates you. Satan despises you. Well, I don't believe in the devil. You can be dumb all you want. Don't matter to me. It doesn't change the fact of reality. Well, I don't believe in gravity. Come here, let me help you. Well, I don't believe in demons, and I don't believe in that kind of... That's all right. Don't matter whether you believe in it or not. It doesn't change the reality. Well, I've never seen one. And you better thank God. First time you see a demon, you're going to be leaving a load. See, the devil hates you, and we don't hate Satan. I remember one time I said to the church, you got to hate Satan. And a guy came up to me after, and he goes, Pastor, you're just mean. And I said, what? He says, you shouldn't hate anybody. I said, You got to hate Satan. And he said, no, I pray for Satan. Satan's downright doomed. There's no help for him. But the church doesn't hate Satan enough. John 10:10, the devil's come but to steal, kill, and destroy. This is his nature. This is his plan. Do you want to know what he wants most from you? He doesn't want your money. He doesn't need your money. He doesn't need your house. He don't need your car. He don't even need your marriage. What he desires most desperately is your connection with God. This is why he hates you, because he will never have a connection with God. So his design is, I want to be their connection. I want to be that one that's going to give them life. I want to be that one that they serve and call God. Now, I don't know about you. There are very few people going to run around and say, Satan is my God. Now, there are Satanists. They do that. That is the reality of life. But most people won't live that, but how they live is that they make designs more important than God. So their connection is more to the world than it is to heaven. And you see, many of us just don't realize. Can you shout it out loud? I hate Satan. There's a song from Striper. To hell with the devil. Has anybody ever heard that song? I love that song. To hell, if I had long hair. To hell with. Yeah, my glasses kept pounding on my nose. To hell with the devil. Wah! I do want you to know there is a video circulating back in the early 90s when I did an air guitar. You gotta hate the devil, and too many believers don't hate the devil. They placate, pacify his ideals and designs. And the Bible says in the book of Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, don't be ignorant of the devil's devices. His passion is to short circuit your life. Here's a definition of short circuit. A faulty or accidental connection between two points of different potential in an electric current bypassing the load and establishing a path of low resistance through which is an existing current can flow. It can cause damage to the components if the circuit is not protected by a fuse. So in layman's terms, it is an unexpected interruption of current that redirects the flow from the intended path, which will cause damage. The devil loves to short circuit your life. He loves to change the flow of your life so that your focus is no longer on your connection with God, but in some other direction. The flow of the current changes in your life. And then what happens is this. Every short circuit causes either fire or the blown circuit. The devil strives to bring into your life a short circuit with your relationship with God. He strives to bring a connection that's going to be broken between you and God. Now, listen now. This comes in so many different manners. And I just want to talk about a few of them. Is that all right? And I'm almost done. I'm going to preach short this morning. Here's some just basic ways that Satan brings a short circuit in your life. Number one is busyness. Pastor Dan, how many of you love Pastor Daniel Dykes? I'm looking for him on the front row. Where's Pastor Daniel Dykes? Pastor Dan, run up to the front where you can sit. Thank you. Come on, Pastor Dan. Pastor Daniel Dykes, he's the one that everyone talks to on the phone, or his team of people that love you. Turn to someone and say, the people love you. Come here, Pastor Dan. But Pastor Dan...
I was in sin, Pastor.
I know you were.
I was taking attendance.
Oh. I thought you were going to say something else.
Can they hear me?
Yes.
Like really hear me?
Yes.
Am I loud? Stop.
It's really interesting because I'll ask where you are. I'll say... I'll be sleeping, and I'll wake up in the morning, and the Holy Spirit will drop your name on my heart. Everyone here thinks that I don't know where you sit. You want to mess me up? Change seats. But I'll find you. We sit up here for a reason, and that is because it's somewhat of a photographic memory. I can actually look across the congregation and tell people missing. And I'll say to Pastor Dan, where is this person? And he'll call, or there'll be a call made, and this is the number one excuse that we get. Well, we're busy. Do you know that busyness is one of the most damning things that the devil can do in your life? You're so busy, you don't have time for God. I've talked to people and I said, hey, you know, how you doing in relationship with the Lord? And are you reading the Bible every day? And they'll say to me, Pastor, you know, I plan on reading the Bible. I plan on doing my devotions, but I'm just busy. I can't come to church. I'm just busy. I want to tell you something. One of the wise, the devil doesn't run around with a little red suit with a pitchfork in his tail. The Bible says he comes as an angel of light. That means deceptive. And what he does is he comes in to steal, kill, and destroy your divine connection with God. And if he can get you so busy, you don't have time to read the Bible every day. You don't have time to, well, Pastor, I don't read. I'm not a good reader. You version. Listen to the Bible. There are no excuses left in America today. Well, I don't understand that version. You version has 100 of them. Every day when we get so busy, listen, this is what we mean about protecting the greatest asset you have, your connection with God. When you don't protect your connection with God, that means you allow the busyness of life to take you in so many different directions that you're no longer focused on the one who has eternal life for you. There's a need to get back. The Bible says this. The Bible says, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Do you know what that means? That means that people will be lost that once were saved. It's called backsliding. We don't like to talk about it in church. It makes people uncomfortable. Let me talk about it and make you uncomfortable. If you are not as passionate for the Lord today as you were last year, you're backslidden. If you're not so driven by the Lord as you were last year, you're not serving God the way you're supposed to. You're in a bad condition. That's dangerous. The Bible says in the church of Laodicea, he said, because you're neither hot nor cold, I'm going to projectile vomit you out of my mouth. He didn't say vomit. The actual Greek word is projectile vomit. He said, listen now, because you've left your first love, I'm going to remove your candlestick, which means you don't go to heaven. You see, the devil desperately is desirous to disconnect you, to short circuit your relationship with the Lord, because he knows this. He knows that if he can get you so busy, you're no longer spending time with Jesus, then you're not feeding the right animal. Whatever you feed grows. Whatever you starve dies. So if you're not fostering your relationship with Jesus, then you've got to say to yourself, I'm too stinking busy. I've got to cut some things out of my life that are the temporary so that I can focus on the eternal. Can I hear an amen or oh my? Then another one is the cares of this world. I can't tell you how many people have said to me, Pastor, my family's before God. I love my children. Listen, children are before Jesus. Now, I can't tell you how many people have told me that. We just did a baby dedication. Do you know what really happens at a baby dedication? You've surrendered that child. That kid's no longer yours. I would never do that. Oh, yeah, you did. If you had your baby in the hospital, you did. Gave your kid a Social Security number, you did. That kid is not yours anymore. That's the government's. That's the truth. But we don't want to give our kids to God. Listen, this is where we've got to remember that Jesus is number one in our lives, and this is the greatest connection we've got to protect more than anything else. You want your kids to be prosperous? You want your kids to excel? Know Jesus more than you've ever known him before. Your kids will look at you and say, I want to be like mom. I want to be like dad. Even when they go through their religion, their little rebellious spot, they're going to look and say, my mom and dad are prosperous because they serve the living God, and I want to be like them. I want a marriage like them. I want a relationship with God like them. Your family can never be first. Your business can't be first. Fun can't be first. Oh, Pastor, well, you know, I planned on being in church, but for the last 3 weeks, we've been going to, you know, the amusement parks. You can go to the amusement park all you want. Problem is, and there's nothing wrong with an amusement park. There's nothing wrong with family. There's nothing wrong with money. There's nothing wrong with business. Until It takes that spot that it doesn't have the right to own. And that is Jesus. I'm almost done. That's my number two times, right? Okay, I get three. Next one is the love of the world. Demas left Paul for the love of this present world. The lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. Relationships. I can't tell you how many people that I've watched walk away from God for a girl or a guy. Serious, man. It just blows me away. They'll leave the house of God and they'll say, oh, I'm not coming back to the house of God because my boyfriend or girlfriend are not born again. You should be dating an unsaved person anyways. The Bible says very clearly, don't be unequally yoked with an unbeliever. If they're not born again, you shouldn't be dating them in the first place. If you got them from the bar, then why are you shocked? Duh. The bar people try to go to the church. Listen, I've watched husbands and wives. I've watched a husband backslide, and I threw my mother under the bus in first service and my mother-in-law, who's now home to be with the Lord. But I remember when both of their husbands backslid. My dad backslid when he was 38 years old. And my ma walked away from God for two to three years to make my dad happy and to make the marriage work. My mother-in-law did the same thing. And both of them came to the same apocalypsis. After their divine connection was cut because they had idolatry, somebody was before the Lord, they did not keep that divine connection strong, they came to this reality. I can keep them happy, but I'll never go to heaven. And they made a decision to come back to Jesus. You've got to make decisions. You've got to serve God. He's got to be your answer. Listen now, I know people that walk away from the Lord because they're offended. Well, I'm not going to that church because they hurt my feelings. Grow up. Stinking just grow up. I'm trying to be nice here. Grow up. Man, if you can't be in the house of God with them, do you really think you're going to heaven? What are you going to do, go the opposite side of heaven? The word of God declares in Matthew, if you can't forgive, then you can't be forgiven. You're going to be offended. If you think you're not going to be offended in church, you're crazy. The only way not to get offended in church is to, not come. So you can be offended at work, at home, and at play. No matter where you are, you're going to be offended. But people that live in a life of offense get bitterness in their heart. Man, they get angry, and they're people that others don't want to hang around anymore. You need to keep the offense out of your life. Can I hear an amen? I've watched some people break the divine connection. They bring a short circuiting because of tragedy in their life. They blame God for the tragedy in their life. God is a life giver, not a killer. Then I watch people, they just start playing with sin. Juanita Bynum preached a message. It was called No More Sheets. I don't know if you've ever heard it or not. It was to single women. And it was this, because that woman can preach. She preached. She said, you just want a man between your sheets, but you can't pay your bills. You have no emotional security. You're in debt. You just want a man between your legs. Yeah, man, tell me, dude, she can preach. And this is the whole message. I've watched so many people give up God for some sex. Let me tell you something. I thank God for sex. It's a great thing when you're married.
Amen.
I said when you're married.
Yeah.
I said when you're married.
Yeah.
Ladies, if you want to move him on to have a better commitment with you, shut down the shop. How many people have I watched give up their relationship with Jesus for some nookie? It's time to recognize that this is something that is not an option. This is not an option. Pastor Dan, are you getting saved? Well, back in my age, that just meant sex. I don't know what it means now. You guys are all perverted and nasty. Here's the truth. My question to you is simple, is very simple. So many of us surrender the greatest gift that we have for something that means absolutely nothing. Remember what a short circuit means. A short circuit means you have power that's being diverted. The one thing you'll realize about a short circuit is that it will always cause problems. Have you ever had a short circuit in your house and all of a sudden the breakers blow and you're standing there in the dark? Have you ever grabbed a short circuit? Lord Jesus. If a short circuit wasn't dangerous, then I would hold it right here. But I'm smarter than that. So I'm going to hold it out here. Oh, that hurt. I'm going to hold it out here because a short circuit is always dangerous. It always causes long-term pain. The one thing about a short circuit is it causes a fire, which is hot. A short circuit in your walk with the Lord is always hot. Hot as hell. Woo! You guys are just wrong. Let me ask you a question. Where's the short circuit in your life? Is it a man? Is it a woman? Is it busyness? Is it money? Relationships? You love the world so much that you hang on so tight? You no longer spend time with Jesus? Where's your short circuit? Because it's diverting where the energy is supposed to go. You know what's amazing? Is that if I hold it here, I can hear that machine. It just kicked off. Because after a while, it kills the power. After a while, it kills the power. Where are you short-circuiting in your life? Where is that spot in your life that no longer should be there? You see, nobody in this room knows your answer but you. Or of your heart and nobody else's heart. Nobody knows anybody's heart in this room. But God knows your heart. I don't know about you. The greatest gift we have is the ability to have God, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, make a divine connection with our life. Are you connected with God? Or are you short-circuited? Are you connected with God? But there's things that are just making it so the light isn't bright anymore. You see, the power of Father never changes. He's constant, consistent. The only thing that changes that divine connection in your life is you and I. What is it in your life? Bow your heads with me this morning. What is it in your life? It doesn't matter whether you're young or whether you're old. Where's the short circuit in your life? We must protect our connection. Oh, some of you, please, please, please. You and I both know you don't love Jesus the way you used to. Offense, anger, busyness, the whole list. Please come back to the Lord. Please love Him with a passion you've never had before. Please stop disconnecting. The only thing that gives you surety on this planet, it's Jesus. Today, if you do not know the Lord, maybe you're in a backslidden condition, maybe you're just not sure, and you want to be sure today. Maybe you know there's a sin in your life that's wrong that you've got to get out. Today's your day, because Jesus is waiting to reconnect you, and not with half power, but with full power, because He loves you. Today, if you do not know Christ, or today, if you're in a position where you're not sure and you want to be sure, I want you to raise your hand up right now. I want to pray with you. Thank you, young man. Is there anyone else? Thank you, ma'am. Thank you, young lady. Anybody else this morning? You can put your hand right back down. Is there anyone else this morning? I'm not going to wait real long. 5, 4, come on, get your hand up. 3, 2. Thank you, young lady. Thank you, sir. Last call. And let's all stand to our feet. You see, today that connection is going to change because you're making a decision. You're no longer going to be flashing. You're going to be solid. All right, you might not be solid. Oh, wait a minute. He told me what to do. Sorry, Dan. We had a bunch of folks raise their hand for salvation. I'm going to ask you to be brave right now. I want you to turn to the person next to you. Turn to the person next to you and say, if you raise your hands, I'm going to go up with you tonight. If you raise your hand for salvation to make sure that you're right with God, I want you to be brave. Can you give them a hand clap as they come? Come right out of your chair and meet me right up here. Come on. Be brave. Be brave. Be brave. Come right out of your chair. So proud of you.